Mental Health Week finished yesterday, I think, with Mental Health Day, World Mental Health Day. We've been talking about it for the last couple of weeks. We had Peter Joseph in from the Black Dog a couple of weeks ago, talked about that. And we've had lots and lots of emails about various things about, and there's, it's all interesting. We were talking about, too, the fact that whilst this is an issue that's been around forever, it always seems to me that the life we live now is just much more manic, if you like. It's faster. It must be faster. Everybody is on the phone as soon as you're walking down the street. I think quiet time is a great thing to have, but it's very very hard to have if you live in the big city. I had this email from Bethel Hunter. She said, I left a message this morning regarding a new website on suicide I've just put up. Professional friends think it's extremely valuable. It needs to be out there, said one. The writing has been checked by a psychiatrist. I had severe depression and I'm finishing a book. And I thought Bethel's story was so important that we should talk to her, and she's my guest in the studio this morning. Good morning, Bethel. How are you?
Good morning, Macca.
Nice to see you.
Yes,
indeed. Now, tell me your story.
Well, I had depression in 1999, and I didn't, even back then, I didn't feel it was a stigma. I just thought it was another illness like diabetes or pneumonia, and so I told people. And immediately I began to speak to people. They were listening and just soaking up information. So I decided to write a book, and one of the chapters of the book is suicide. A friend of mine in Brisbane rang and I said, how are you? And she said, I'm terrible. My cousin has suicided. And I said, oh, well, I'll send you my chapter on suicide. And she found great information from that. So she said, could she spread it? And I said, oh, well, just a moment. I need to make it stand alone. So I did that. And then 2 weeks ago, you said, I've never seen the board light up like it is today. And so I said to myself, get moving, Bethel. And so I tidied it up, and the website was finished 2 days ago. So it's depression-unmasked.com. And there's a fair bit of information in there for people.
And what can you sort of encapsulate what it's about? Is that too hard to do?
Oh, no. It has links down the side that you can press on. And they take you to the most important one, I think, is the sudden change of mind or mental state of a person.
And is that what happened with you?
That's what happened with my friend whose cousin suicided. She said, we all thought he was going okay, and then suddenly he was dead. And he had been seriously ill, and then he seemed happier or more calm, and I knew what she was going to say next, and I shrank, and she said it, and he was dead. And I thought, people just simply don't know that. They think people are getting better when they're not. So that's the first really important thing. And then the other things in the site are the entrapment or absence of hope. I think you might remember some time ago there was a grazier who shot 400 of his cattle and then shot himself. Every way he turned, he had no hope. And so that's the second point. Then there's antidepressants, and people take those and think, well, I'm right, or the people around them will think I'm right. And so you don't watch the person who's got depression, and they're going careering downhill until the antidepressants kick in. And that's a very dangerous time for when people have depression. So we need to be careful of that. And then there's, as I call it, an insider's account of near-suicidal depression, and that was me. and I think it's really important for people to understand that the thoughts of a seriously depressed person are absolutely illogical. I was lying there thinking, lying there thinking, if I were dead, I wouldn't be feeling like this. And a friend of mine said later, well, I can't argue with that. And so I thought, now, how can I do this? Well, the only way I can do it is for the world to blow up instantly. It had to be instantaneous. And then that would take everybody, all my friends. And then I thought, but if just I die, it'll upset my husband and sons. Upset. Mm. And that was the level of my thought. I didn't think about my sons' wives. I didn't think about my friends. And one friend said afterwards, what about me? And I said, no, right. You didn't figure. No. So that's how the thinking of a seriously depressed person runs.
I'm talking to Bethel Hunter. What's the site again?
It's depression-unmasked.com.
There you go. Now, Bethel, you said this happened to you in 99, did you say?
Yes.
And hadn't happened before and
no.
hasn't happened since?
No. Yeah. Well, I did everything I was told. And as one friend said, you did everything you were told to get better. And I said, well, why wouldn't you? It's so horrific. Mm. It encompasses mind, body, soul and spirit, the whole lot. And just absolutely ghastly.
And what did you do for a living, did you?
Well, I originally was a physiotherapist and I did some lecturing and demonstrating at Queensland University. And then I started a frail aged daycare. I've sort of done things with children and lots of things like that, so...
And you were motivated, but to do this, which is a great thing, because I think anything can, because we all have little triggers that to help us. You know, you might read a book and say that's no help to me, and you might just see something and that just, you know, strikes a chord with you. You know, and I think the more that people write about, because it's a very personal experience, isn't it? And
it is.
And somebody's depression might be completely different to somebody else's. If you know what I mean.
Oh yes, your depression is specially tailored for you.
it's yours, isn't it?
Yeah. It is. Yeah. Yes. I think that people really don't understand depression from the outside. As much as people try, they can be empathetic. But I said there's great fear and terror. And my friend said, of what? And you just lost for words. Well, if people like William Styron can't, you know, describe it, and other people through the centuries, how do we describe it? And the important things are your friends standing nearby, waiting for you, and listening to you if you're going to speak.
It's the most important thing, isn't it? Really, friends, friends and family. That's the most important thing.
It is. It is really important to have that support.
But I think, as you say, there's no signs of it, is there? You're talking about your friend who, you know, one day they're there and the next day they're not, and that seems to be a common thing too, doesn't it?
Well, unless you know what to look for, and this website has stereotypes, people who are likely to commit suicide. It's got a list of those, and then it's got a list of things that people do or say before they suicide, and I was saying several times death would be a good option, but I said it with a little laugh, and so people don't take you seriously. So even if somebody says that in an almost joking way, take it seriously. Others will say there's nothing left for me, and just be very attuned to words or phrases like that.
The site again?
depression-unmasked.com. Mm. So and there's a lot there, and the behaviours we need to be alarmed by, the most dangerous times for suicide, and what helps us not to suicide. So those are the different things down. And even the website is devised so that people with depression can access it easily.
Good on you.
They can't read from one side of the page to the other. Your reading ability drops to about a six-year-old's, and your comprehension is very poor.
Bethel, good luck with that. Thanks for talking to us. Bethel Hunter. And
thank you, Macca.
And I hope it helps lots of people.
Well, I think you go everywhere, so
I do.
It will, I'm sure. Thank